As we turn to God's word, let's call on the Holy Spirit. Let's join in prayer. Gracious God, your word is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. And Father in heaven, we need that sword tonight. Your word has so much in it, and our ears need to be opened. Our minds need to be made receptive to your message. So we pray for the cutting and healing work of your word and spirit. We trust you for that. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Scripture reading is Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Hear God's word. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friends in Christ, and especially to our friends in the Night Sounds, I want to thank you for the gladness that you've shared with us in the form of your joyful and gifted singing. I thank you because with your musical gifts, you've helped us all here to live out the Psalm 100 that we just read. Because you've allowed us, you've enabled us to come before the Lord with gladness and with joyful songs. So speaking for all the people of God gathered here tonight, I say thank you. Now, in addition to thanking the Night Sounds, I'm going to pass on a few thoughts that are rooted in Psalm 100. So please note that Psalm 100 begins with all the earth. It's God calling all the earth to shout for joy to the Lord. But then the psalmist becomes more specific about his people. And in the last verse, the psalmist says, "For the Lord is good, his love," and that's his covenantal, steadfast, "I'll never give up on you" love. God's love endures forever, and God's faithfulness continues through all generations. And that's a key word for us tonight, generations. On the basis of that closing verse in Psalm 100, I can say to the Night Sounds and to any of the younger members here that as young people who are growing up into your own faith in God, God is at work in you with his steadfast love and faithfulness so that you can participate in God leading the whole earth to come before him with joyful songs of praise. So to put it simply, God is at work in your generation to bring together people in Christ from all nations. And that's the message. God's at work in your generation to unite people in Christ from all nations. Now, to explain that message just a bit about how through all generations God works to all nations, I'm going to pass on a somewhat odd testimony from my life, an experience by which I came to know that God works with steadfast love and faithfulness in all generations. And the story goes like this. When I was just a little bit older than you high schoolers, when I was in my first year of college, I heard a Bible teacher give what I thought was kind of an interesting idea. He said that if you want to experience the radical power of the gospel, he said you should take up this practice every couple years, read the New Testament as a whole in one or two settings, and read it as if you were hearing the message for the very first time. In other words, read the New Testament as if you have really never heard about Jesus Christ, as if you know nothing about the whole gospel, and in that way, the power of the gospel, my Bible teacher said, it's going to strike you in a fresh way. So one afternoon I began that project. I pretended to forget everything I knew, which actually wasn't that hard, sadly. I started to read the New Testament from page one. And what do you think happened when I did that? How do you think it feels to read the Gospel of Matthew beginning at verse one for the very first time? Well, do you know your Bibles well enough to remember how Matthew begins? Matthew 1 verse 1 says, "The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." Now, how's that for a first line that just grabs you? The genealogy of Jesus Christ. As a pretend first-time reader, I wound up wondering, what exactly does that word genealogy mean? And I started to think, okay, as somebody who's never read the Bible, I guess I've heard of this guy David. Speaking of old movies, there was a movie about him starring Richard Gere, and there was this woman named Bathsheba in the movie. That was kind of interesting, but Abraham, not really sure who he is. So I wanted to get the power of the gospel, so I kept reading. And the next few verses in Matthew go like this. Abraham was the father of Isaac. And Isaac was the father of Jacob. And Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. And Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah by someone named Tamar. And I thought, okay, I guess there's something here, but I'm not getting it. In the older translations that were more common in my day, that whole genealogy in Matthew, it comes in the form of begats. So as I kept reading the gospel for the first time, it went like this. And Perez begat Hezron. And Hezron begat Ram. And Ram begat Amminadab. And on it went. I can't remember if I counted the generations, but if I did, there were 41 or 42, depending on the text you use, 42 begats to begin the Gospel of Matthew, because as Matthew says, there were 14 generations from Abraham to the captivity in Babylon, and then 14 generations to David, and then from David to Babylon, another 14 generations from Babylon unto the Christ, 14 generations. And I will confess that as I read all those begats, I was wondering, is this an exciting way for the New Testament to begin? Should I be feeling the power of the gospel when I'm reading it as if for the first time? As I continued to read, Amminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salmon. Salmon begat Boaz, by Ruth, and on it went. Well, here's what happened. Here, at least, is how I remember the Lord giving me something to take away from that reading experience. As I read all these begats, the Lord said to me, in effect, "Listen, Joel Koch, can you see my steadfast love and faithfulness enduring through all generations?" The Lord said, "Can you feel me sticking with, no matter what, sticking with my covenant promises in all those descendants of Abraham, which includes many, many messed up generations?" So it turned out that I did feel the power of the gospel in an unexpected way, more than I anticipated, but it actually happened when I knew the larger story of the family of Abraham with all its problems. I experience the grace and truth of Jesus Christ all the more when, to echo Psalm 100, I remembered in all those stories that the Lord is good and his steadfast love endures forever. God's faithfulness runs through all generations, and thank God for that. Where would we be without that steadfast love and faithfulness to all those generations? So we can thank God for that faithfulness to all generations, and we can know that by God's grace, God is working through all those generations, including ours, to unite all nations. So there's a power in generations that reaches all nations. And I would just like to share a little bit about how I've seen that power at work here since I moved to Northwest Iowa just a little bit more than 4 months ago. In my brief time here, I've gotten to know just a little bit a few of the youth and the children at Covenant. I have a long way to go to know them better. I've also paid a couple visits to Sioux Center Christian School and to the Christian high schools. And beyond that, I've observed a rising generation growing into their faith in Christ. So, for example, yesterday I observed children, I was going to say K through 12, but some of them were younger than kindergarten, actually working in our annual day of church cleanup, genuinely laboring in a way that made a difference. And in the weeks and months before that, I observed younger members sharing gifts of the Spirit in ways that are beautiful. To give you just a few examples, I've seen high school members of our church grab a vacuum cleaner and, without even being asked and certainly without complaining, clean up after the meals that we share. I've also seen young people working to make the church grounds look clean and well-kept in a way that honors God. And especially tonight, but in other times, I've seen them sing, heard them play instruments, and lead our congregation in worship in an inspiring way. And in a few cases, including tonight, I've heard some of our young people share their faith stories, both in terms of the content of their faith — they know the Bible, they're getting to know it — and in terms of knowing some church teachings. And just in case this needs stating explicitly, let me say clearly that that kind of church participation in a rising generation, that is nothing to take for granted. It strikes me sometimes as a miracle. It does not happen automatically. It does not happen by accident. Instead, as Psalm 100 tells us, this is an embodiment of Psalm 100. It testifies to God's steadfast love and faithfulness to all generations. The parents, the grandparents, the teachers, the village that passes on faith in Jesus Christ from one generation to another. Thank God for that. So, having acknowledged and thanked God for his faithfulness to a rising generation, I am going to change the tone of this message quite directly. And I didn't anticipate this back in February, but I'm going to change the tone drastically for just a few minutes to consider a recent news story. It's really a horror story that I have a copy of if you want to read it after the service. I think most of you know about this story. It'll help us see what's at stake as God works faithfully in rising generations, and it'll encourage us to translate that steadfast love and faithfulness to a joy to all nations. So the change of tone is this. I'm wondering with all of you, and maybe especially I'm wondering with the high schoolers, have you heard the news story about this young man named John Ernest? Do you know that story? John Ernest is a 19-year-old member of a confessionally faithful Christian church. He was raised in the Escondido Orthodox Presbyterian Church, where his father serves as an elder, where his pastor preaches the Reformed faith, and where his family has participated actively in congregational life. And this story happened 8 days ago. On Saturday, April 27, John Ernest, this young church member, he took a gun to a Jewish synagogue, and he attempted there to carry out a massacre. But thank God, if we can say that in this setting, his gun jammed. So he managed to kill only one person. Can we thank God for that? Named Lori Gilbert Kay, and he injured a few others before he was apprehended. Now, you may know that the Orthodox Presbyterian Church is very closely related to the Reformed churches of which we are a part, from which many of us come. The Orthodox Presbyterian Church, or OPC, and the Christian Reformed Church, CRC, we differ on some teachings in today's society, but we come from the same branch, so to speak, in the family tree of Abraham and David. In that Reformed Presbyterian branch, we share the same faith in Jesus Christ, and we confess the triune God. And so when OPC leaders express their sorrow and dismay at this atrocious crime of hatred carried out by a member of their church, I and other church leaders and church members, we can share in that grief. We can share in that shattered heart and in a call to repentance. And now let me share just a brief thought or two about why I mention and bring up this horrific event. So the first thing I want to say is please know that I have not heard even a hint of that kind of hatred in the young people that I've met here and in the others. I've heard about plenty of hate on the internet, which this guy was connected to, but in the people I've met here, I haven't heard that hatred. In fact, I've heard the opposite. I've heard young people and other members wanting to embody the grace of Jesus Christ more widely, beyond borders, a gospel of peace. And so at this time, I'm going to pass on a happy story, a true testimony that can speak to this desire, which the horrific story, I think, can even deepen in us. And I find this story fascinating. In fact, I've told it once before here at Covenant, but I think whether you've heard it before or not, it's worth listening to as God's showing us a way towards his peace, his joyful sound in all nations. It's the story of a young man named Frank Laubach. And it's the story of God overcoming not just our explicit hatreds, but even our self-conscious, subconscious sins of pride and racism. God can overcome those so we can share the love of Christ. So Laubach, like many of us, was born and raised in a Presbyterian and Reformed tradition. And as a devout young man, he obeyed God's call to serve as a missionary in the Philippines. Now, this young man, Laubach, was an exceptionally talented person, and those gifts served him well in many ways. But they also made him proud and blind in ways he did not recognize. So Frank Laubach, when he did not achieve the success he expected in trying to convert people in the Philippines, and even more when he lost out in a position in the mission field that he felt utterly qualified for. Well, he pretty much collapsed, and he sort of brooded in mental and physical illness for about 2 years. And then one night he had a transforming experience. As he was recovering, Frank Laubach writes that one evening, he says, I went up on a small mountainside called Signal Hill. And he says that as he looked out on the region of the Philippines where he felt utterly defeated in his efforts to share the gospel, tears began to form in his eyes and drop down his cheeks. And then, in a way that he found mysterious, his own mouth began to move in a way that he understood as being able to explain only as a message from God. See, Frank Laubach had no plan to speak at all, but his lips began to move. And through his mouth, God began to speak. And our Father in heaven said to our brother Frank, he said, my child, you have failed because you have not truly loved these people with whom you've been sharing the gospel. Now, Laubach was reaching out to a Muslim group in the Philippines called the Moros people. And God said to and through Frank Laubach, you have failed to reach these people because you feel superior to them. You feel superior because you're white and because you're an American. So if you can put those identities where they belong, they're fine in themselves, put them where they belong. And if you can forget your pride and instead think only of how you can love these people to whom I've brought you, then they'll respond. So Laubach heard that, he spoke it again without intending to. He heard and spoke it in a state of awe. And he answered back by saying, God, I don't know how you just spoke through my lips, but I accept your words as the truth. And so I ask you to drive me out of myself, defeat my pride, take possession of my mind by your Holy Spirit. So Frank Laubach surrendered his entire self, including his subconscious racism and pride, to God. And out of that transforming experience, he began to meet in dialogue with the Moros people as one human being to another, and still able to share the story of Jesus Christ. And in that kind of relationship, the people began to respond. As Laubach himself describes it, he says, as he opened his own soul to further growth and love and understanding, well, then God opened the hearts and minds of the people around him to the gospel of the kingdom that he so wanted to share. Now, friends in Christ, right here in Northwest Iowa and right now in relationships that you already have, you can surrender yourself more and more fully to God and give your whole self to him in a way that allows our Lord to open your mind more and more to the gospel and its grace without borders. And as you continue in that journey of love, as a generation growing into your faith in Christ, through that transformation, the steadfast love of the Lord that is shaping you so profoundly, that will overflow as a shout and a song of joy in all the earth. Let's join in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you so much for your steadfast love and faithfulness. We thank you for the family of Abraham, of which we are a part. We thank you for the root which grew out of the stump of Jesse, and for the amazing way in which Jesus came as the promised king. And we pray that we can follow Jesus in the way of grace and truth. We ask you to overcome in us our conscious and even our subconscious straying from your way. Fill us with a love and a joy and a peace that overflow to all the earth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.